Fred Film Radio, Locarno Film Festival, Switzerland.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Laura Della Corte, and today we are here with the director Bob Byton and the actor David Cromlos from Lizzie Carter here in Locarno. So how are you feeling today and how is your day so far?
I feel lovely. The day is lovely. Everything is lovely. Bob is lovely. I'm full of love.
It's good to be here. It was good to show the movie yesterday, and we had Locarno gets, I don't know how Locarno gets these audiences, but suddenly there's 2,000 people watching your movie, and I have not experienced that at any other film festival where the crowds are, where do these people come from? Are they from Italy, or like where all of a sudden there's 2,000 people sitting there watching your movie? And then I heard we sold out the screening today, and that it's likely we'll sell out tomorrow. And I know David is also someone who sold out professionally early on, and so I know that you're happy about that.
Sold my soul for rock and roll. Went down to the crossroads, you know. Met the devil.
Well, you may have.
Made a deal. Yeah, made a deal.
Mm-hmm. Don't be ridiculous.
Now you stop it.
I love this. So, well, Lousy Carter for me was, you know, a bit of revelation because it's like I noticed a parallelism with The Great Gatsby, because at the beginning of the movie we have these phrases that is, you know, a description of him, but at the same time I thought, it feels so better to Lousy to like the character. And you always, you know, portray like people who are refusing to grow up in
right.
some way. Yeah,
right. That's my
but,
curse.
Yeah, that's your curse. So, what attracts you to explore this kind of particular aspect, and what was it like for you to represent it?
I'll go first. I seem stuck in a kind of adolescence that I've grown out of a little bit, but not much. And it's getting terrifying because I'm getting really old, and I'm going to be like a 65-year-old, 14-year-old, which is not a good look for anybody. And I imagine the same thing will happen to David to a lesser extent because he has kids. He's had to grow up a little bit. But I'm sort of dismayed that I kind of keep making the same like I deal with the same issues, but I sort of can't help it, and I'm trying to get it right, and so I sort of stay on this quest. And the other weird thing about me that I assume is true of other people, but I don't think it is, I see like everyone as like kids. Like I interact, like I see you as a very young person. Like I met David when he was very young. And he's never really grown out of my sort of initial perception of him when he was like, you're like 20 years old or something. And he's sort of stayed that age for me, like in a way. And so that's a weird thing about how I see the world that's a little uncomfortable.
And I see the world the exact same way, to be honest with you. I mean, having children does grow you up a bit. Watching one of your parents pass away does grow you up a bit. They're rites of passage, but there's also a digression that takes place, you know. I mean, when life gets hard, what?
Regression or digression?
Regression, you're right.
He corrected me yesterday.
Yeah, I'm sorry, a regression. When life gets hard, have fun. You know, when I turned 40, the biggest revelation of turning 40 for me was, I gotta have fun. Fun, the word fun, English word, is a terrible word for fun, because fun is a profound thing. If you can find the fun in your life or create fun for yourself, it's the most profound freedom. And yet it's a terrible word. It sounds like duty. It sounds like it's a fun. It's not a good word. How do you say it in Italian?
Divertimento.
Oh,
that's a much better word.
Divertimento. I don't believe anyone that portrays themselves as an adult, I honestly think they're just miserable. It's different.
Yeah.
To say I am an adult, full-grown man, I'm a man, or I'm a independent woman, you're miserable. You're just not happy.
But then we can't help but see our parents as adults. You know, like I saw my parents were adults, and my parents' friends were adults, and I was friends with some of my parents' friends when they were younger than I am now, and I can't fathom, you know, this idea that I'm older than someone I perceived as, you know, clearly an adult. So that's very strange.
Well, it's like that, what is that, that allegory about the guy that his father died in a avalanche, and 50 years later he goes, his dad was 48 at the time, and he goes, 50 years later the kid goes to the mountain where his dad died and finds his dad frozen in ice at the age of 48, and he's older than his dad. You ever hear that one? And it's like mind-blowing, yeah?
This got deep.
Yeah, yeah. According to that, you know, you made me think about the thing about the character, too. You know, it's like when I read for the first time Great Gatsby, I thought that he was such a misunderstood guy. Like, you know, the things that you are saying, for the people that seems to be like adults, but actually they are miserable, like you said, is for me it's the same. It's like he has this sense of hope that I found in Lousy Carter too, because he's like, you know, he's handling his life at his best, and everyone around him is saying, oh my God, why you can be like, you look like an adolescent, like a teenager, why you are acting like that? But actually for me, it's like, you know, his sense of living life that way is like having hope. It's so seeing things in different way.
Well, I've learned from experience that playful people are haphazardly confrontational towards non-playful people. And the jealousy manifests as criticism, you know. You're too playful. You're having too much fun. The moment in the script when he says, when his friend tells him you're like a reasonable facsimile of yourself, a different version or whatever. What is it? A version. And I say, and he goes, I'm not a virgin. And his friend just, Martin. You know, he's playful, but playful people are frowned upon, you know. They're, you know, can you please take this a little more seriously? You know, but we agree that life is absolutely absurd. And if you don't live your life knowing that you're the most absurd thing within the absurdity of life, then you're not. Then how can you be happy? How can you find happiness if you don't think that you're a ridiculous human being, and that human beings are ridiculous?
I have nothing to add.
Thank you.
And you know, well, Lousy Carter is set to a specific cultural and social context. And don't hate me if I say that, but at the very beginning, I thought about Breaking Bad when I saw it, because. Well, it makes me think that the character of a man who has, you know, got so many bad things in life, and then he decided to, like, break him bad, so to change a lot. And that's, I think, similar to Lousy, but he doesn't change so much in the exterior things, but internal, because there is this balance with, you know, humor, but introspection too, as we said. And so, I mean, is there a specific social thing that you wanted to show with your movie and with your character?
Well, maybe if I have an agenda, it does kind of dovetail more with the absurdity and with the paying attention to the idea that life is absurd. It seems like the filmmakers that have impacted me, like Karzmaki and Louis Buñuel, have that sort of sense of depicting, you know, depicting things that are bleak as humorous. That seems to be material that I would gravitate toward, as far as I can tell. Not consciously, but subconsciously.
You know, that's the joke. I mean, you either get the joke or you don't. The joke is, you know, the joke is the guy finds out he's going to die and not much changes, you know, other than maybe, you know, his urgency to get laid before it happens.
Yeah,
he's really going to commit to the salacious behavior necessary to seduce a grad student. You know, he's driven in a way that he was not driven in the past to try to make this happen. And
but he fails.
He does fail, sadly. Spoiler alert, he fails. But I also sort of knew he was going to fail. Like, when I wrote the script, I knew that he was not going to succeed. I didn't know a lot about what I was doing, but I knew that he would not succeed, sadly. That would have been more courageous of me to have him succeed. I don't think so.
But I love that he doesn't succeed, because the reason he doesn't succeed is he knows it's not ethically wrong, but that it's a bad look. You know, he sees how it looks. He's very self-aware, you know. You know, Lousy Carter is the most perfect person in that film, in my opinion. Most well-rounded, even-keeled, down-to-earth person in the whole film. He's just told by everyone that he isn't.
Nice.
Gracias.
Where did you see the film? Did you see it at the press screening?
Yesterday. Yesterday at the Pala Expo, I saw the movie.
So with the audience.
Yeah, with the big audience.
I think it's more fun with the audience.
Yeah. They laugh a lot. So did you enjoy, actually, how the audiences respond to you?
I wasn't there.
You wasn't there? You were only coming to present, right? Yeah.
He was there.
Well, luckily for me in that regard, I was sitting directly near people who were not enjoying the film. So I could hear that people were enjoying the film far away from me. But in my vicinity, yeah, but sitting with the people I was sitting with, they seemed to loathe the film and loathe me in specific. So that cured me. That was a bit of ego death right there that I needed, I suppose.
I can't believe it. The jury. Oh yeah. Actually, that's what I wanted to ask, because did you have the chance to saw other movies here, and did you enjoy them? Is there one that hit you the most in particular, and why?
We had just gotten here and went to the Piazza Grande on Saturday night to see Anatomy of a Fall, and that movie is incredible. And it's very intimidating and very well made, extremely accomplished, and you should see it. It's good, and but it's on a different scale. I mean, it's a much bigger movie, and I don't know how they do that. I mean, I don't know how they make those big movies, and my hat's off to them. Had you seen anything else yet?
No, and I won't.
This is a spoiler, I know, but you know, at the end, I was scared about the friend that is trying to contact the Lousy Carter.
You were scared?
Yeah, because I thought it was like some kind of stalker, you know. I think every one of us has one of those in our lives. So yeah. I was like some kind of, you know, this man is something, you know, evil. And then, you know, at the end we saw it. So do you think it's like, this again a parallelism with the Great Gatsby that actually got killed, but someone who mistake him for someone else.
Right.
Yeah, that was all kind of an accident. But I didn't, when I started the script, I didn't know that Dick Anthony was going to shoot Lousy Carter. But that's just kind of how it happened. And like you say, like we all seem to have a stalker in our life. And on the other hand, I mean, I think we all kind of stalk someone or want to stalk someone. I've had periods where I wasn't a stalker, but I, you know, if it were socially acceptable, I would have been, you know, but have you had stalkers? I'm sure you have.
I have one currently who's not an official stalker, you know, I had one many years ago that I had to go to the police about. Yeah, but no, I have one now, and we're Facebook friends, and I try to recognize him in little ways, little like, oh, I like that post, even though I don't like it. That way he feels seen by me. If he doesn't feel seen by me...
So lastly, I would like to ask you if you have an idea what will be, you know, the world of cinema in general, like in 10 years, what will be like, you know, for experiences for actors, for technology used to, because we are this VR thing. There are movies here that are, you know, being shot with the 3,060 degrees camera, you know, and they are not so easy to follow. And so what did you think about that? If there are, you know, directors or actors that you appreciate, and why?
Well, I wouldn't dare to predict what's going to happen to cinema in 10 years, because the hope is that it's everything all at once. As it is today, you know, I mean, I love how everyone seems to opinionate on the state of cinema as if it's some sort of global political thing. It's art. And there's a lot of money being pumped into certain films and not a lot of money being pumped into others. But hopefully it's not all defined by money. I think cinema's in a very, very good place. You know, look, a 3-hour long biopic drama history lesson just made, you know, $600 million. And so we're in a good place. You know, I went and saw that film and sat next to two 16-year-old brothers, 15, 16-year-old, and they absolutely loved every minute of it. So I think when you begin to predict what people will like based on their demographic, that's when cinema is in trouble. But right now there's something for everyone, and the audiences surprise you. You know, what I hope doesn't happen, because they seem to have been trying to do this for a while, is the dumbing down of audiences, and there's a lot of clunky films now, films with holes, and that becoming the new normal is a problem. You know, in the sense that you watch a film that is, by all intents and purposes, a great film, except it has several plot holes, and a young aspiring filmmaker, a kid, doesn't know the difference, doesn't spot those holes. That's unfortunate when so many brilliantly plotted out films have come before that, you know. So like with any art, you would hope that new audiences new to film, younger audiences, will travel back in time and rediscover films that established new pathways and made their mark. In terms of who I like, I mean, I don't watch anything. I don't watch anything. I stop watching everything.
That's awful.
I like character actors, but I'm too.
How do you pass the time?
On my phone. Sad.
It is sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I can talk about Oppenheimer, can't I? I saw Oppenheimer when I was in Germany a couple weeks ago or last week, and I loved it. And I loved, part of what I loved about it was how intelligent it is and how entertaining it is, and how it the filmmakers assume that the audience wants to see something that's smart. And Yeah, I certainly hope that provides some impetus for Hollywood to sort of start believing that intelligent movies have an audience. So,
altruistically, a large percentage of what Hollywood makes should be in an effort to educate the audience. Unfortunately, that's not the case. Hopefully, that film, Oppenheimer, changes that a little bit, you know. People want information. They want to be educated. Some people love learning. And they it seems for a very long time that Hollywood had forgotten that in place of more exploitative fare.
Fred Finn Radio, we are being here with the director Bob Byington and the actor David Crummles for the film here in the Festival of Locarno, Lousy Carter. Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.